Man, I love your past. The Lord knows I tell you, you have a man of God for a past. I said that. Said that everywhere I go. Amen. You have blessed to have a great man of God and family here. I count it a joy and an honor to be here. I really don't know what I'm doing here. He told me to preach out of John, so I'm trying to do that. Amen. Then he called me right before I come and said, "Preacher, you really don't have to preach out of John. I done sweated for 2 months." Amen. Trying to get me. I wish to God he'd have told me that earlier. Amen. I said, if I done sweated all this stuff to get it out of John, I'm going to preach on John. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. I love you, Pastor. Amen. And I appreciate him. Highly esteem in the Lord. He is a great man of God. He don't want me to say that, but I mean that. And I tell that everywhere I go. I said, Lord, if I just had a few of the talents Brother Massengale had, and we're bragging on the Lord, not on him. Amen. If I just had a few of the talents he had, I said, dear God, the man could do everything. Amen. And so what a blessing that is. That's such an honor to be here. You know, if I knew there was singing like that before I got saved, the only kind of singing I knew was "Don't Step on My Blue Suede Shoes." I'm Rudy, Tutti Frutti All Rudy. I knew stuff like that. Dear God, I was listening to that junk. I could have been listening to this, saved, amen. Wasted 27 years of my life, amen, on Tutti Frutti Old Rudy. Can you believe that, amen? What in the devil Tutti Frutti Old Rudy going to get you, amen? Then a man singing it was a homosexual, so I didn't know that at the time. I wouldn't have been listening to him, amen. But then I found out they're singing like this. I never went to a church they had this kind of singing, amen. It sounded like opera when I went, you know, and I sure didn't want to hear that. I'd rather hear "Don't Step on My Blue Suede Shoes." That's why I didn't go to church, amen. And then I got saved and got introduced to this. I got introduced to this at Pleasant View Baptist Church up in Taylor's, amen. I didn't know what camp meeting was. I got saved in a holiness meeting. Y'all don't hold that against me. But I didn't know what this, I didn't know what all this was about among Baptists, amen. Then I got introduced to this. That was a glad day when I got introduced to this kind of worship, amen. And there's some people don't care for this kind of worship, but dear God, I wish I'd have got into it a whole lot earlier, amen. Thank God, it's something to get excited about. Amen. I was looking back there. I was trying to get that off that map back there, what they were singing about. Amen. I said, if I could get some of them words and take them home, amen, we'd have camp meeting too. Amen. No more tears after you die and go to heaven. Thank God. I didn't know whether to look at the map or look at them singing. Amen. Both of them was good. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I tell you, the Lord is good. Thank God. Amen. Man, I'm telling you. I got a little bit nervous the other day. I got a little bit nervous. I got my Bible tonight, amen. I got a little bit nervous the other day. This really did happen. I got through preaching. You see, I probably done drew about 6 Social Security checks. I know I don't look that old, but I have. And I got through preaching the other day in a meeting somewhere, and a preacher walked up to somebody, not a preacher, I don't think, but walked up and handed me this little note. And it said, "Old folks are worth a fortune." And I started reading, and it said, "Nah, now that I'm getting a little bit older, I have to see five people a day." It said, "As soon as I wake, willpower helps me get out of bed." And it said, "Then Charlie Horse comes along, and when he's here, he takes a lot of my time and attention. When he leaves, Arthur Ryder shows up, amen, and stays the rest of the day. He doesn't like to stay in one place very long, so he takes me from joint to joint." And then said, "After he leaves, after such a busy day, I'm really tired and I get into bed with Ben Gay." I didn't like that part, amen. And then he said, the latter said, the preacher came to call on me the other day, and he said, "At my age, you should be thinking about the hereafter." I told him, now this man handed me this note, he said, I told him I do think about the hereafter. As a matter of fact, when I'm in the den, when I'm upstairs, when I'm in the kitchen, or when I'm down in the basement, I'm always asking myself, what am I hereafter, amen. Praise the Lord. And I know if you're young, you don't appreciate that, but you start getting your Social Security check, you would like it a whole lot better. Amen. Well, anyway, I find this unusual, and the best I know, I'm trying to determine the will of God. I did plan to preach out of John this week, and I normally don't preach like this in a meeting the first part of the week, but it seemed like the Lord's got it turned around a little bit to how I do it. But anyway, I trust God's led me again tonight to John 5 tonight, if you'll turn to John chapter 5. And we'll preach, and I say again, I normally don't preach on this subject the first of the week at least, But normally if I'm going to preach on these subjects, I leave it to the last of the week. But anyway, let's turn to John 5 tonight. And then if you're physically able to stand, we'll stand and read the Bible. If you're not physically able, just remain seated. But John chapter number 5. Bible said, and after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. If an angel came down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Jesus answered him, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then answered they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed and wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. I want to take my text in verse number 6 tonight, I believe it is. Verse number 6, the latter part. Wilt thou be made whole? Amen. I want to try to preach on that simple thought tonight. Amen. Wilt thou be made whole? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come to church tonight. Appreciate the good touch of God upon the service and the singing and the spirit of the service. God, we have thoroughly, Lord, been blessed already. I do pray now, God, tonight you'd unctionize me and, God, give me power and liberty, Lord, to preach the word of God. May it fall on good ground and bring forth fruit, and, God, you be glorified. That is our prayer, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. You be seated. As I said, in our church, we've been studying on the miracles in the Bible. And of course, as I said, Brother Dale called me and said, in regards to y'all studies here in the school about the book of John. And of course, we've been studying the miracles on Wednesday night. Of course, this miracle is one that we studied. Wilt thou be made whole? You know, most people are wanting improvement in life. The truth of the matter is, when you read that question, the Lord is asking a man 38 years that's been crippled, do you want to be made whole? That sounds like really kind of a foolish question. I'm being reverent, but to ask a man 38 years that he's been crippled, do you want to be made whole? It seems like almost that would be a joke. Is anybody with me? Seems like the Lord would say, do you want to be made? It seems like, but you know, there's multitudes of people that don't want to be. That's pretty well evident, amen. But wilt thou be made whole? Most people are looking for improvement in life. Society that verifies the fact that that's true, because society is doing a lot of things to try to improve people in the area of helping. What Jesus was asking this man was more than, do you want help? He was saying, sir, do you want to be made whole? There's a big difference between getting help and getting whole. Amen. Wilt thou be made whole? That means body, soul, and spirit. Yeah. Wilt thou be made whole? Amen. Hey, Christ did not come for just a healing ministry alone. Right. Matter of fact, if he had, he healed one man, got help down there, amen, and he left the rest of them in the same shape they were. If he had come for a healing ministry, he'd have healed all of them, amen. And so simply tonight, he is saying, do you want to be made whole? Body, soul, and spirit, amen. Now, people do need to be made whole. Amen. They need more than help. Amen. I say that to say this. Organizations can help you. Amen. But they can't make you whole. The educational or the public school education, they can help you know a little bit about learning, but they sure don't teach you how to live. That's pretty evident. Amen. And then the welfare system, they can help you live, but they can't give you life. And then the AA system, Alcoholic Anonymous, they can help you get off liquor, but they won't tell you nothing about the Lord. The truth of the matter is, I grew up in a drunkard's home. My daddy was literally the town drunk. And I can remember as a young boy growing up, people coming to our house and offering my daddy help, and he got involved in AA. And my daddy would get in some of those binges, and he would stay drunk for weeks and sometimes months at a time, and we'd finally have to get him and send him off to a place. And I remember several times as a young boy, we sent him off to rehab places where they worked on his alcohol, and he would get chips, blue chips, and I don't know that I remember all the colors, green chips, yellow chips. And he would come home, and he would stay in sobriety so long, they'd give him a green chip, and a little bit longer they'd give him a yellow chip or a blue chip. I remember our house sometimes looked like a sawdust mill. He had so many chips. But I tell you, every time he would go back to alcohol. But then one day a preacher come by our church, by our house. And he said, Alan, he said, you've been through everything. You're still on liquor. He said, I have a place I'd like for you to go that's got a spiritual atmosphere. And they sent my daddy off. And I remember as a young boy in my early teens, I remember my daddy went off to that place. And I remember when he come home from that place sober and got in the church, amen. And they would got us out of school. When I was in school, they got the whole school out of school and got us all in the gymnasium. And they said, we've got you here now for you to hear Alan Willis give his testimony on what the Lord did for him. May I say, all that AA never helped daddy, but the Lord changed his life. I'm saying, hey, people offer a lot of help, but he got made whole. Are you listening to me? Hey, DSS can send you to rehab, but they can't regenerate you. You know, that makes a lot of people mad, really. Amen. I'm telling you, the world system don't work. The only thing works is Jesus, amen. Are you listening to me? Hey, people get help, but they don't get whole. Amen. Amen. Friend, Jesus wants to make you whole. Amen. I say this again, I won't say it no more, amen, because I don't want to give you the big head. I'm preaching to one of the greatest church. Why would I be preaching these kind of messages in this church, amen? Because I am understanding enough. Not everybody here is probably saved. Hey, you need to be made whole. You need more than a church. You need Christ. Amen. Hey, what Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Amen. You know, under this system here, first of all, I noticed few got help. Hey, only one out of that great crowd, only one got help. So under this system that I'm reading about tonight, about the moving of the waters and the trouble of the waters, only one got help. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you something else about this situation. Those that needed the most help didn't get it. Amen. Those that needed the last help did. If you were strong enough to get to the water before everybody else, you were the one that got the help. So really, those that needed the most didn't get it. Hello. Number three under this system, they can only help you temporarily. Amen. Hey, wasn't anything involved in that water but helping you physically. Amen. Hey, at best, you only got help temporarily. But Jesus offers a whole lot more than that. Amen, amen. Hey, number four, they were not trying to help each other. Matter of fact, when the water started moving, everybody was scrambling to get to that place. I would guess, now I don't just say not in the Bible, but I would guess they were probably almost fighting to who could get in the water first. It was kind of like it is today. It was a dog-eat-dog world. Are you listening? Those, they were not helping each other. I was talking to the pastor a little bit today. And of course, he's aware. But we started a home for men that are on drugs and alcohol and getting out of prison. You know what I found? I found there's men in prison. This has happened to us. There's men in prison that can't get out of prison because they don't have an address to go to. And we have literally got men out of prison. Had we not got them or somebody like us, they would still be in prison because they don't have an address to go to. And simply because we furnish an address, they can get out of prison and come stay at our place. And they have men in prison tonight that, hey, they have to stay in prison till they can get an address to come to. I asked him when to get out. I said, where were your buddies? I said, you could get out of prison. Where was your mom and daddy? Well, mom and daddy didn't want me to come back. Are you listening to me? It'd be hard if we slow down a little bit. Hey, where was your friends that you used to run with and do drugs with? You mean you still in prison and they wouldn't help you get a place? I'm trying to tell you, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Are you listening to me? And we give them an address and they're able to get out of prison. We got a fellow right now from Cincinnati. The last man we got just come from us from Cincinnati. And he didn't have no place to go, no place. And he come to us from Cincinnati. Are you listening to me? I mean, we got him way down south. Hello. Are y'all listening? My point is simply this. They're not helping each other. Hey, I tell you, the only real help is in the Lord. Amen. Notice right here, there were five porches, I think we could point out. It was for grace, amen. There was Bethesda, means the house of mercy. It was by the sheep market. I often thought about that. You would think that's where they went and got the sacrifices from. You would think when the priests, the religious people of that day, when they went to get sacrifices, they would have saw all those folks and you'd have thought they wanted to do something for them. But they passed them up. Amen. That's what religion does. Religion will pass you up. Is that not true of the Good Samaritan? The Levi and the priest passed that fellow that was wounded and died. They passed him up. I preached one time. I was glad they did. Amen. I preach, thank God, the Levite and the priest, I'm glad they passed that man up about dead. Because if they'd have got a hold of him, all he would have got was religion. But the Good Samaritan got a hold of him, and he got salvation, amen. Well, I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, this house of mercy by the sheep gate, amen, was where the sacrifices were bought, amen. Notice something extraordinary was happening, or something exciting was going on, or they would not have stayed there. I know if you read some of the liberal commentaries, they'll say this proportion of scriptures is not in the Bible. But according to my King James Bible, it's in there. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad it is, because I wouldn't be preaching on it tonight if it wasn't. Somebody help me right there. Amen. Notice their condition. The Bible said that they were impotent folk. They were without strength. Amen. And that's not exactly a picture of what we were. Hey, we were without strength, amen. Hey, we could not fend for ourselves, amen. But thank God, the long, kind hand of God came to where we were. They were withered, the Bible said. They were waiting, the Bible said. They were wanting, amen. That's exactly where we were. Notice the crowd, blind, verse 3. The Bible said they were blind, amen. That meant they couldn't see. They were halt. That meant they couldn't walk. Hey, they were withered. That meant they had affected their hands. They couldn't work. I mean, they were totally depraved, amen. And that's exactly where we were. Totally depraved. We had nothing to offer God. But God had everything to offer us, amen. Thank God. Here's my message real quickly tonight. I won't be long. Notice, first of all, Jesus came to where the healing was needed. And that's very elementary, but the Bible said that he came to where these people were. Now get to me, there was one man, a certain man, in all that crowd, and Jesus came there. I'm so glad tonight that the Lord came to where I was. I was in a Pentecostal meeting, sitting on the back row, backslid, amen, about like Brother Cox tonight, sitting on the back row, amen. Hello. I went to hear him preach the other night, and I sat on the front row, amen. Somebody help me now. But I popped in, maybe you'll get saved tonight, amen. But I propped down on the back row, amen. And hey, the Holy Ghost of God moved in that service. And I can't explain that. We was in a Pentecostal meeting, amen. But I'm telling you, something got a hold of me. And all those people in that building that night, I don't think anybody else got saved. But thank God, by the grace of God, I got born into the family of God. They were saying things I couldn't understand. They were acting like some of y'all act tonight. I was like that saying to myself, dear God, if I can get out of this building tonight, they will never have to worry about me coming back. Hello, Tokyo. Somebody hit me. And I am telling you, it was wild, friend. It's probably about 400 people in that building, and that man up there singing on the platform. I went to hear singing, but they did a little preaching in between. And that man on that platform was saying, hey, young man in the back of the building. That's what he said. Hey, young man, 27 years old. Hey, young man in the back of the building. Yeah, God, I was on the back row. He said, sir, if you turn loose that chair, he couldn't see all that. He said, if you turn loose that chair and step out, God will save you tonight. I was holding on to a chair. Amen. I believe that Pentecostal was in tune. Amen. Hey, he said, sir, you need to quit trying to figure it out. You need to quit worrying about what your buddies think. Amen. I'm telling you, brother pastor, I was holding on to a chair wondering what I was going to tell my buddies tomorrow. And all of a sudden, he said, if you'll turn loose and take the first step, God will help you take the rest. And I'm telling you, pastor, by the grace of God, I stepped out. I took the first step. I run down the aisle. Sit and see. Amen. Hey, God came to where I was. I tell you, God will go. I'm amazed where God will go to get a sinner. Hallelujah. God will go the extra mile to get a sinner. Amen. You know why? He loves you. Amen. Hey, one in a multitude, he came for that one. Hey, 1 in 6 billion people, and God came to where I was. Amen. Thank God he cares for you. Amen. The Bible said he had been there a long time, 38 years, amen. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, he comes to get those that are sick. That's what Luke said. Luke was a doctor. He said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. He didn't come to get those who were well. He came to get those who were sick. Amen. Bible said they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Sound like it's pretty smart to go to the doctor sometime. Amen. Luke was a doctor. Here's my point. Jesus came to where the need was. Amen. I believe he's here tonight. I mean, I felt it when I stepped in the side. I really felt it. I know you won't go by feelings, but I'm glad I feel it every now and then. Amen. Last night I was so nervous I couldn't have told you my name. But I'm telling you, I've been feeling pretty good today now. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I just figured, God, I'm going to go tonight and get in on the first part of the service. Amen. Praise God. Notice this, number two, real deep now. He picked the worst to help to show the rest he could. Oh, are you listening? It's evident this fellow was the worst because he had been there 38 years and he hadn't got in the water yet. So he was in pretty bad shape, evidently. Amen. If that happened every year, he'd done seen 38 people get it and he hadn't got it yet. Help me, Lord. Amen. In other words, he didn't have nobody to help him. He didn't have no family to help him. He didn't have no friends to help him. Evidently, he didn't have no finances. He'd have paid somebody to help him. He's in bad shape, amen. I'll tell you what, if he can make him whole, he can save you. Ain't nobody too bad he can't save. Hey, he'd been lost. He's lost. Verse 14, the Bible said, after Jesus findeth him in the temple, he saith unto him, thou art made whole. Go and sin no more. It's implied that his sin was why he was there. Yes. Amen. He'd been lost a long time. You ain't too old, God can't save you. Hallelujah. I got a man who was in my church for years and years, and he married this lady, and I won't go into all the details of that, but he married a lady that was of another persuasion. And I didn't think it was right. I told him it wasn't right, but he married her anyway. Well, make a long story short, after he got married, she started coming to our church. And she sits over there on the second pew right behind my wife. And she don't believe all that we believe about eternal security. And so when I would hit that in my preaching, my wife would hear behind her. She's 84 years old. My wife would hear her say, and well, when she first got there, she's 74. And so my wife would hear her say, I don't believe that. And so sometime later, I'd hit it again. She'd punch her husband and say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I mean, she was vocal about it. And so time went on to here about 6 months ago, she got put in the hospital. And me and my wife was going down the road one day, and the phone rang, and I answered the phone. It was her husband. And he said, Pastor, you need to come to the hospital. Said, my wife is thinking death is coming soon, and she needs to talk to you. She's not settled about her salvation. I said, I'm on my way. And I got there, Brother David, I walked in the room. She's back there in intensive care. I walked back there, and I said, Sister, I said, I've come to talk to you about the Lord. She said, oh, preacher, I'm so glad you come. And I said, now, I'm telling you something now. I didn't come down here to beat around the bush. You said, you the one said you think you might die. I'm telling you, we could get down to where the rubber meets the road. She said, tell me, preacher. I said, well, you got to get saved. You got to understand you're a sinner, you're lost, and you're headed to hell. She said, now, preacher, I don't see myself as being that bad. I said, well, you can't get saved. And she said, well, preacher, I know I do some bad things, but I don't see myself as being all that bad. I mean, like you described, hell-bound, sinner, lost. I said, well, do you see that you can't get saved? And so I went through it again. She said, well, I can't picture myself like that. And I looked at her husband. I said, Brother Dyson, I'm telling you now, I didn't come down here to get a little profession. Y'all call me. I'm telling you, we better get down to the nitty-gritty and get this thing settled. And he said to me, he said, tell her, Reb, tell her. I think he'd been wanting to say that a long time. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so I went through it again. And I'm telling you, Pastor, it was like a light cut on her soul. I mean, my wife, we could see it on her expression. She said, I see it. She said, I see it. I am lost. I am lost. I said, now you can get saved. And I'm telling you right now, in that intensive care ward, she called on God and got gloriously saved. Amen. And I'm telling you, Brother David, when she got through in the intensive care ward, she said, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I was wanting to tell her to be quiet. Amen. And we'd talk a little bit, thought some things. And right in the middle, she said, I'm saved. I'm saved. I said, yes, ma'am, you saved. Amen. She got out of the hospital, went home. She got home. We went to see at the house. We stepped in the front door. She said, preacher, I just want to tell you, I'm saved. I'm saved. She got better. She come to church. She sat down on the second row. She said, preacher, before church starts today, I got something to say. I said, tell her. She said, I'm saved. Hey, aren't you glad? God, don't matter how old you are, God can still save you. She's 84 years old, and God said, and she's a millionaire. I hope to God she learns out about tithing. If y'all hear a shout come out of South Carolina, y'all know she's supposed to tithe, amen. I hope she catches up on her tithing. Hey, he's lost a long time, friend, but God can save you. Hey, some of y'all here tonight, you was up in age, but the mercy of God and the grace of God bore with you a long time to get you saved. Hey, nothing but the compassion of God, the long suffering of God. Hey, been there a long time, lost. He's lame. He couldn't walk. Amen. Hey, he was lonely, no man to help him. You know, I preached not long ago about that maniac of Gadara, chapter 5. I never saw this like this. The Bible said he was crying. You talk about the baddest fella in town down at the tombs. He's crying. I want to tell you, everybody out there in that world looks wicked and ungodly. Hey, they ain't enjoying what they're doing. Hey, the Bible said he was crying. Now, I preached on hear the cry of the lost. Amen. Well, I'm simply saying to us tonight, he was lonely. Hey, I found this out. If God can help this man, he can help anybody. I preached one time in my church, we ought to go find the meanest man in town. And God told me who he was. And I said, Lord, I didn't mean that one. And he told me to go see him. I said, Lord, I was preaching now. Amen. But anyway, I went. Hello. When I got there, I make a long story short, I don't want to go into all that, but I got there. You know what the man told me? He said, preacher, 2 weeks ago I was asking a fellow in your church about you. And I'm telling you, God will put it together. I got down and prayed. God, I want to see that. I preached this man. I want to see the meanest man in town saved. And God sent me to what I call one of the meanest men in town. He killed his own daddy. Shot his own daddy. I said, that's pretty mean. Amen. Are you listening? I'm just simply saying, hey, God is able to, if God can help this man save this man, God can save anybody. Amen. No matter how old you are, how long you've been there. Hey, I'm just simply saying, I had a man in our church, he's a deputy sheriff. And he made the biggest drug bust in Berkeley County in marijuana. They had marijuana stashed down in the Francis Marion Forest. It'd be Mark Lane's granddaddy was the deputy. And he found the drugs down there. They had armed guards guarding the marijuana in bales down in the forest, and they was waiting to get it out and put it on transport to get it up north. And they was guarding that marijuana. And the man who was responsible, who was doing it, was the brother-in-law of Martin's granddaddy, who's a member of our church. And he caught his own brother-in-law and sent him to federal prison. I said, dear God, you talk about a family not united. Well, one night, lo and behold, he served 6, 7, 8 years. I can't remember, in the federal prison. He got out. These two men, the deputy and this man selling the drugs, are married to sisters. And that man's wife died. And when his wife died, it broke his heart. And one night on a Wednesday night, I looked up and lo and behold, his name is J.B. Mitchum. Come walking. He would shoot you as soon as look at you. I looked up and walked, and here he comes walking in the back door on a Wednesday night and walked in and sat down beside his brother-in-law, the deputy, who arrested him. I said, God, we're going to have a shootout in Old K Corral tonight. Well, lo and behold, he kept coming back. And one night we preached, and he come to an aisle and bowed on his knees and asked the Lord to save him. What are you trying to say? I'm telling you, God can save the meanest man in town. If he got this fella, he can get you. Hey, John 5, he got the least. John 19, he got the thief. And Acts 9, he got the chief. If he can get all of them, he can get you. Hey, he got Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter took shoes off his dead baby in the casket and went and hocked the shoes and bought liquor. And God caught up with Mel Trotter and saved him. And he went all across the country setting up rescue missions. I'm just simply saying, hey, if God can do that, he can do it for us. I don't know who in all is here tonight in this good crowd, amen, but maybe you wandered in tonight, or maybe you've been here tonight. But I'm telling you, God can save you, amen. Maybe give me a third point real quickly. He uncomplicated the source of hell. Amen. What did he do? Look in verse 6. Now, this is my message, and I'm through. Notice what he said. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Here's how he uncomplicated. He said, sir, what's your desire? Now, ain't that real deep? I don't tell you how you can get saved tonight. You just got a desire to be saved. Wilt thou be made? That seems like that don't seem like a real sensible question. You crippled, you lost, you're going to hell. Do you want to be made whole? That don't even seem like a question we ought to have to ask. But I'm going to tell you, most say no and say yeah. Wouldn't we have thought if this man would have said no, how ridiculous. He'd been there 38 years trying to get some water, and now a man comes by and said, you want to be me? You would have thought, he would have said no, you'd have thought that would have been very ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you what, will thou be made? You got to have a will to be saved. Amen. I'll tell you, there's a lot of teaching now about the sovereignty of God, and you don't have a will. I think that's a bunch of junk myself. Amen. Hey, you have to have a desire, amen. And then if you got a desire, he'll give you direction. Look at verse 8. He said what? Rise up and walk. Amen. Now think about this, man. 38 years, what? You want to be made whole? Hey, evidently he indicated, and the Bible said Jesus told him to rise. He told him to do what he couldn't do. Amen. How's he going to rise? He's been crippled 38 years. I'll tell you what the element was. The element was faith. Amen and amen. Something he couldn't do. I'm going to tell you tonight, we got saved. Hey, it was something we couldn't do. Amen and amen. Hey, we just had a desire and he gave us direction. It ain't real deep, folks. I'm telling you, we have complicated the plan of salvation. I was preaching down in Georgia. I was preaching revival, and a lady got saved one night. And the next night, it broke out in testimonies. And the lady stood up and said, Brother Willis, I want to thank you last night for making a statement while you was preaching. I said, what? And I was thinking, what did I say? She said you got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I went forward in the church service not long ago and told them I was scared I was going to hell. And they said, that's not a reason to get saved. That's in an independent Baptist church. I said, ma'am, I don't care what nobody's theology is. I know I'm saved, and I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. You say, well, that ain't the highest priority to get saved on. It was enough to get me in, friend. Hey, I ain't worried about going to hell tonight. I serve him because I love him, but the fear of hell got me saved, amen. I met some man didn't get saved over the fear of hell. They got saved over the love of God. Hallelujah for you. I'm glad for it. But I am telling you, hey, it's pretty simple how to get saved. You have to have a desire, and he'll give you direction. I don't think he'll give you direction until you have a desire. Amen and amen. Somebody help me. Notice this. He uncomplicated it by being delivered. The Bible said in verse number 9, and immediately. Amen. Hey, it ain't a process, it's not a process. Right. Amen and amen. I tell you, when you got born into the world, you got all hair in one package. Amen. You didn't have a foot, and then 2 weeks later an arm, amen. It got hair all at one time. Right. My point is simply this. Hey, immediately he was made whole, amen. I'll tell you, my daddy come home from that place, I tell you, he was a changed man. Are you listening to me? Didn't have to have no more chips. Hello? Amen. My daddy was a drunk. He ended up being a deacon. Hallelujah. Some of y'all like that. Some of y'all, I can look at some of y'all and tell how y'all used to live. Amen. Some of y'all used to be old drug addicts. Amen. Now you're sitting up in church acting like you're saved. Amen. What a blessing. Thank God. You know, I found it this day when I go preach, amen. You may as well mention drugs, but I was preaching down in Georgia, and I was preaching one night about God saving drug addicts, and the preacher came to me after the service, and he said, "Preacher, let me tell you what happened to me." I said, "What?" He said, "We have a jail ministry. We go preach in the jails and preach in the prison." I said, "Wonderful. We do the same thing. A lot of churches I'm in do that." He said, "So I got my men together and said, men, I want y'all to go with me to the prisons." And I said, "Now, in order to go, you can't have a prior record." And so he said, "Brother so-and-so, I want you to sign up to go." He said, "Preacher, I can't go." He said, "Why?" He said, "I've been in prison." And he said, "Well, brother so-and-so, I want you to go." He said, "Preacher, I can't go." He said, "Why?" He said, "I got a prior record." He said, "Well, brother so-and-so, how many?" He said, "Don't look at me, preacher. I got a prior record." He said, "Dear God, I found out half of a church was nothing but a bunch of prisoners." Amen. Amen. This is my prison message. Y'all look like a bunch of convicts. Amen. I hope you've been convicted. I was convicted. I was guilty. Amen. But thank God when I got guilty, hey, he cleansed me. Amen. I'm just trying to say he got delivered. Amen. It wasn't a process. It was all at one time. Amen. I'm telling you, God will save you tonight. Amen. Hey, there was a delight. Notice this. The Bible said in verse 9, and immediately he was made whole and took up the bed and walked. Amen. You know what's amazing about that? Hey, he walked. He did not have to learn how to walk. Right. Right. I mean, we get our children, they get born, we have to teach them. Now come here to dad, and you know how to. No, this fella just started walking. Didn't know how to have to teach him how to walk. You ladies have to help me on this. I put this down. Hey, most babies walk before they talk. But the first things they say is, "Mama, dad, somebody." I know this is so deep tonight. My point is that I believe that's the way it ought to be. You ought to walk it and then talk it. You know, I've been preaching through them miracles, and quite a few of those miracles, Jesus said, "Don't tell nobody this." And I know there's some reason I've been studying. But I tell you, he told several that he healed. He said, "Don't go tell nobody." Yeah. That don't sound, that contradicts everything we preach. Yeah. Here's my point. Here's my simple point. We ought to probably walk it before we start talking it. Yeah. There's a whole lot of talking about it, but a whole lot less walking it. Yeah. Hey, I don't read where he said anything. The Bible just said, "Take up your bed and walk." And he grabbed up his mattress and started walking. What's your point? Amen. My point is he was delighted. Amen. He could not walk to be whole, but because he was whole, he started walking. Amen. Hey, walk before you talk. Hey, last point. Being whole will lead you to the house of God. Now, y'all don't need this, but I'm going to preach it to you anyway. Verse 38, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, notice this. In verse number 14, notice what he said. And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. I don't read where Jesus said walk to the temple. He said walk, but the next time you see him, he's in the temple. There's something about getting saved that'll take you to the house of God. I'm just simply trying to say to us tonight, you ain't got to beg nobody to go to church to save. Being made whole will take you to the house of God. I was studying somewhere, and one of the great old Puritan writers said this. He said he never preached on church attendance. I thought, do what? I preach on it all the time. He said he never preached on church attendance. And I went on to read it because it kind of staggered me. And a little bit later in the writing, he said this, because if I got to tell you to go to church, you got a deeper need than that. Hey, if you got to tell somebody all the time to go to church, they got a deeper need than going to church. I believe that. Amen. I'm just simply saying he got married. He got more than help. Amen. He got made whole. Amen. He got more than he asked for. He was down there to get some help, but when Jesus passed by, he got more than he asked for. Now, I'm going to tell you what, did we not get more than we asked for? I go back that night, I got saved from going to hell, but I got a whole lot more than I asked for, amen. Hey, I got my family put together, amen. Amen. I got grandchildren tonight because I got saved, amen. I wouldn't have had no grandchildren. I wouldn't have had no home, amen. But God did more than deliver me from hell, amen. I got more than what I asked for. Thank God. I'll tell you, I'm going to heaven. I'm just rejoicing I ain't going to hell, but more than I asked for, I'm going to heaven. More than what I asked for, I get to preach the gospel. More than what I asked for, I'm in Pleasant View Baptist Church preaching, amen. Praise God. I got a whole lot more than what I asked for. I'm like that fellow down there at the beautiful gate of Jerusalem, amen, with his begging alms. Amen. He's asking for money and he got a miracle. He's asking to be not be crippled and he got Christ. I like what the Bragg preacher said. He's asking for arms and got legs. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Seems like a lot of people today want to stay on the porch and hang around the pool. Get this and I'm through. When you get saved, you may as well get ready. The redeemed's going to encounter criticism. Look in verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to carry your bed today. Yeah. And that's a bunch of wet blankets there. Yeah. Preacher, I'm telling you, I know you have, but I'm telling you, I've taken young people to camp meeting. I've taken young people to Pleasant View camp meeting, and I'm telling you what, they get jacked up, seeing them shout for the first time, see some of them get happy for the first time, and take them back home, and the mom and daddy shut them down. You know why? It embarrassed mom and daddy. You go suffer criticism. You know why I believe a lot of young people quit? They can't take the criticism. And I'm telling you, you're going to be criticized. We got five young people in our church this year, last year and this year, started going to college. And they're going to a secular college. They're going to Charleston Southern University. And don't frown on me for that, but they go there and come home every day. They go back and forth every day. Amen. Three of them has made the dean's list. And they got involved, and two of the girls are going to another school, and they got involved with the teacher telling them they had to view something that was ungodly. And they said, well, we can't do that. And they said, what do you mean you can't do that? And they said, well, according to our teachers, we don't believe in viewing stuff like that. And the teacher said, well, you go home and think about it and come back tomorrow, and we'll see, because you have to do this. So one of those girls and one of those boys, they went home, went back with the same answer. We can't do this. And the teacher said, well, you need to do it. And they said, no, according to our religious conviction, we can't do this. And thank God the teacher didn't make them. Amen. Matter of fact, I told them, they make it, we'll stir up more. Amen. I'm just glad I got a few young people willing to stand. Hey, in a college that is anti-God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad. I told my young people, I said, now you understand a little bit more when I preach on Daniel. You understand a little bit more what Daniel was facing. It ain't just a story in the Bible. It's reality, friend. If you go stand for God, you're going to have to overcome the criticism of this world. Amen. Hey, they got criticized. What? This hair is a man walking. He walked in 38 years. And they say, you ought not be carrying your bed. Dear God, I've been there, haven't y'all? Amen. I've been there when I first got saved and went back to that dead church, Baptist church. I've been there when the preacher finally said something good and I said, amen. I didn't know them terms. All I knew was pool room terms. And one day I'm sitting there, he happened to say something good, and I said, amen. And everybody, the whole church looked at me. And the preacher knocked on my door after coming to eat. I was eating dinner. The preacher that son knocked on my door. My wife is here tonight. Testify this. I went to the door. I thought maybe he'd come to talk to me a little bit. I was a new convert. And he said, we got problems. I said, what's the problem, preacher? He said, the problem is the church is upset for you saying amen. I said, what you want me to do, leave? He said, no, but I'm telling you, don't rock the boat. I said, don't rock the boat. I said, I'll tell you what, preacher, I don't want to cause you no problem. I'll just leave. He said, no, don't leave. But I am telling you, don't rock the boat because they're going to leave if you keep doing that. And I wasn't doing it despite them people. I was doing it because God had put in you. That's better than cussing. I thought amen is a whole lot better than what I used to say. Somebody help me right there, amen. Hey, some of that crowd sitting in church ought to be glad I'm saying amen. They used to be mad at me for cussing. But thank God, I got a new language now, amen. I said, preacher, I'll just tell you, I'll leave. He said, don't rock the boat. I didn't rock it. I turned it over and got out, amen. I found me a church like this church, amen. You're going to be criticized. Amen. I found out what the redeemed to do. They'll edify Christ. Amen. I'll tell you what he said in verse 11. He said, the Lord told me to do this. That's a pretty good answer. Amen. Hey, the religious, then he answered that. Then they tried to encourage confusion. Notice in verse 12, and then they asked him, what man is this which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Religion tried to confuse you. He didn't know the answer. Amen. He didn't find out the answer until he got to church. You look at it a little bit later. And you know what I found? I put this down. Hey, I didn't know my mama's name, but I sure enjoyed her nourishment. But as I kept on hanging around the house, I found out what her name was. Her name was Mama. Hello? In other words, I didn't have to know who she was to get nourishment. Y'all will get that a little bit later. I'm through. The redeemer will eventually confirm. The redeemer will eventually confirm who you are. You'll find that out at the house of God. Notice what he said. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. He going to church, having them find out who did for him what they did. And I'm going to tell you what, that's why we need church. He effectively confessed who Christ was. I'm glad, thank God, tonight I know who he is. Amen. And everything I know about him, I found out in church. Amen. Everything I know about Christ tonight, I found out in the house of God. Amen. You could not thank God enough for the church. Amen. Amen and amen. I found out he's the truth. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Thank God, I was preaching, I'm through. I was preaching at a camp meeting, at Bethel Baptist camp meeting up in Salisbury, North Carolina. And when I got there, I preached revival for Brother Ronnie Young years upon years. But he asked me to preach in a camp meeting. I preached in the camp meeting, so I come in another way to go to the camp meeting other than his house. And so when I got there and I got through that night, he said, Brother Willis, he said, now, you're preaching the camp meeting, but are you still staying at my house? And I said, well, I don't know how to get to your house from here. He said, I'm going to tell you how to get there. I said, all right. He said, you'll pull out the campground. You'll take a left. You'll go down to that stop sign. You'll take a left. You'll go to another stop sign. You'll take a right. You'll go a little ways down the road to another stop sign. And you'll take a left. And then you'll turn back quick right. I said, Ronnie, I can't do that, man. How you expect me to follow all them directions? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, my son Preston, he knows the way to the house. Because he's been over here and he's been back to the house and he's been back numbers of times. He knows the way. So he put his son in the car with me. And we pulled out the campground. He said, turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right. You know where we got? We got to the house. You know why? Because I had his son in the car with me. And Jesus said, he's the way. Hey, you know why I know I'm going to heaven? Because he's been here, been back, been here, and he's coming again, and he's the way. I'm thinking not only he is the way, I'm telling you what, he's in me. I can tell you I'm going to heaven tonight because I know him. He's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. Amen and amen. And if you know him tonight, you're going to get there. Praise God. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, you will eventually confess who he is when you really get saved. Hey, I put it down like this. The impotent man met the omnipotent man. Are you listening? It'll be a big difference in your life when the impotent man meets the omnipotent man. His name is Jesus. It was troubling of the water that got him there. But I tell you, it was trusting the word that got him whole. You know what I thought about? Had he gotten in the water, he might not have ever gotten in touch with the word. It was the troubling of the water that got him there. Here's what I found in life, Pastor. Most people ain't looking for God, the trouble comes. Normally God has to trouble something in your life to get you to come to God. And so God troubled the water to get him there, but trusting the word is what got him home. Amen.